Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyami. Today we're going to be learning Perek Beis, the second chapter in the book of Iyov. This is a relatively short Perek of only 13 psukim, but it is a very heavy Perek. It is the second test of Iyov. We read in the first Perek about the first test of Iyov and how he accepted it calmly and with blessing to Hashem, in which he lost all of his livestock, his property, and his children. Now we're about to read the second test. So the Perek is divided into two sections. The first 10 psukim are the test, and the three last psukim, Yud Aleph to Yud Gimel, are when his friends arrive. Let's focus on the first section for a moment. We're told, Vayhi Ayom, it was the day, the B'nei El Ha'Elokim, the children of God are coming to stand in front of Hashem, and the Satan also comes to stand in front of Hashem. The Satan comes in front of God. Hashem says to the Satan, you know, where did you come from? The Satan says, you know, I was gliding around, I was floating around the world and seeing what was going on. And Hashem said, you know, did you notice my Iyov, my Job? Ki ein komo baretz, there's no one like him. Tom, v'yashar, v'yirei lokim, v'sar mirah. Look at him, all the great, the alamailas. And he's still good, even though you tried to get him. Wow, Hashem's really setting this up. So the Satan responds and says, he says, you know what? The reason is that he's still Oir Ba'ad Or Bokol Asher La'ish Yitain Ba'ad Nafshoi. What a statement. You know what the Satan says? The Satan, when responding to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he still has his skin. He still has his life. He still has his body. Maybe, as the Malbim explains, maybe it wasn't so important to him, the loss of his property, the loss of his children, because really the number one was the most important thing to Iyov. So that's not a proof. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I give you the permission. I give you the license. Go and take him. Just don't kill him. Don't take away his soul. And that's what happens. The Satan goes, and the Satan inflicts upon Iyov Shchin Ra, a terrible, terrible plague of boils that afflict him from his from the very tip of his feet until his skull. And he's sitting in the dust, and he's scraping with a piece of earthenware at these boils which are covering his skin among the dust. And along comes his wife, and she says to him, Oidcho machzik besumosecho, berech elokim v'meis. She says, you're still hanging on to your innocence? Just bless Hashem and die. And he responds to her, you are speaking like a simpleton, you are speaking like a boorish person. You, for also the good and the evil I will accept from Elohim, from Hashem. If I'm not going to just dismiss the evil. And therefore he never sinned with his lips. He didn't curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the first section. What is going on? We have a few basic questions. First of all, Vayhi Ayom, when is this day? So we know that in the first parak, when it says Vayhi Ayom, the Mefarshim say it was Rosh Hashanah. It's ostensible, it's logical to suggest that perhaps this is the next Rosh Hashanah, when judgment comes again. Why is Hashem offering this information to the Satan? It almost sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting the Satan up to make this castigation. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmalei Kosa Umikra Kosov, Iyav Shala Omroi. If the Pasuk had inserted in this way, it would be disrespectful to say that about God, but it sounds like it's like Hashem is goading the Satan and then becomes goaded on. So what does this mean? What exactly is the Gemara trying to convey to us? And I think that we're being told a very key element of the Satan, of the castigating agent, the prosecuting agent in heaven. And that is that the Satan and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one and the same. That there's not a dualistic way of looking at this world. Don't think of, like many religions of yesteryear, looked at the world through dualistic eyes. There's the forces of light and the forces of dark, and they're always at war with each other. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rach, this Chas Hashem, to think like this, and there's another force, there's a force of evil. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is the force. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the agency which is sending the agent, which is sending the Satan. They are one in the same. Don't think that for a moment that these are two forces in opposition to one another. It's the same system. And that's what's being said over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, triggering this agent. It's not a game. It's not two forces trying to jockey each other, God forbid. This is how the system works. In fact, there's a very beautiful letter which was written in a book called Thoughts to Builder by Mr. Avi Shulman. He writes a beautiful letter which is called a letter to by the Yetzirah. And here's how it reads, just a few lines. I thought it's a very creative way of looking at this. To my star pupil, I'm writing this letter to let you know what I think of you. Up here in heaven, things are not like they are down on earth. There, people only know what they can see. If they see a person who's successful, they say that he is the greatest guy. When they see someone who's struggling, they think he might be one of the weaker elements. Let me tell you something. Hashem gives every person certain abilities that nobody knows about down there where you live. Some people are capable of tremendous things, while others were put there for much smaller purposes. That is where I come in. My job is to make sure that they succeed in reaching their true potential. I am very misunderstood. Most people hate me, and I don't really blame them. Most people think that my job is to make sure that they fail in all the aspects of the mitzvahs, and that I rejoice every time they sin. This is the farthest thing from the truth. Did you ever watch a boxing coach train a beginner? It is a really funny sight. The coach will put on gloves to fight against the student. At first, he won't hit the hardest or throw the best punches. But as the student gets better and better, the coach will fight harder and harder. He does this so the student will improve his skills and become the best boxer he can be. When the coach has thrown everything he had at his student, and not only does the guy withstand the beating but knocks the coach down, nobody in the world is happier than the coach. That's what the Yetzer Hara says, and it goes on to describe this. I'm writing this to you now because I have a very serious request to ask you. Please don't stop fighting. Don't give up. I've been beating too many people lately, and I'm losing my patience. Believe in yourself, because I would not be involved with you as much as I am if I did not think you could beat me. And this is a letter from the Yetzer Hara to the person themselves. It's a very beautiful way of describing it. And I think the Gemara is saying is exactly this point. Is there not two voices here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the agency sending the Satan in the first place to elicit from Eov the necessary characteristics through this process, which is a very powerful way what the Gemara seems to be conveying in a very simple, seemingly simple statement. Why boils? Why is it now that this is what he is hit with? So if we remember, the Malbim says that there's three types of difficulties that a person can encounter in life. There are natural difficulties, let's say storms, viruses, all kinds of natural occurrences. Then there are things which are created by human beings, where, let's say, wars or thieves, robbers, all kinds of terrible things that could happen at the hands of people. And there's a third type, which is things which we inflict upon ourselves as a consequence of badly lived lives. We eat too much, we don't sleep enough, we get involved in complicated moral relationships, or we indulge too much in certain things, and it brings upon us bad consequences. Those are three types of things that can happen to us. Up to now, all the things have been from the external. From the outside, they've been other people or natural consequences. And Eov in his mind could have said to himself, you know what, the reason those things happened was not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was targeting me. It was because ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed his Hashgacha, and in the space, in the shadow of Hashem's presence, then negative things happened. But it wasn't that Hashem was targeting me, and in that way he could, in his own mind, say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just so to speak, was hidden from him. When this third category of illness befalls him, when the illness on his own body befalls him, and Eov knows that he used to wash his hands before meals, that he did not involve himself in any illicit activity which will give him any forms of transmitted diseases. When Eov was the kind of person who looked after himself spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and now he gets this terrible disease, there's no way to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu let this happen in the absence of his Hashgacha. At this point in time, it's clear to Eov that this is happening because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is targeting him. And if he's being targeted and he lived a very pure life, that's much harder to swallow. That's why this is the next level of tests, argues the Malbim. Now, let's go back to his wife's claim. What is his wife actually saying to him? She says to him, you know, why don't you bless Hashem and then die? Bless Hashem seems to be a euphemism for curse Hashem. What does it mean? How exactly, what is she saying to him? So the Malbim says, you know what it is that it's a taunt. Wait a second, Eov, you blessed Hashem just a moment ago, and you when we lost all our children and all our livestock and everything we owned and everything that was to our name, you blessed Hashem, and look what happened to you now. Do you want to bless him again? So that's what she's saying to him. She's taunting him. Well, it seems that your attitude of loving God isn't working so well now, Eov. That's what it seems to be. But the Alshich says that perhaps a different way of doing it is that no, she was a tzaddikas. What she says is the following: you blessed Hashem b'shem Havaya, the name of Hashem Yud Hey, and then a Vav, and then a Hey, which is the name of Rachamim of Hashem, of mercy. Well, that obviously is not what Hashem wants from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to acknowledge not just the God of love, but the God of justice. And once you acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a way, that's all Hashem wanted from you. You're about to die anyway, Eov. You're clearly at the end of your rope. Just bless Hashem and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name Elohim of judgment. That's what's interesting over here, and that's why she uses the name Elohim, interestingly enough. What is his response? It's interesting that when you look at the words in this parak, when it describes his response, all it says is that first of all, he was silent. He didn't bless Hashem like he did beforehand. He, at this point, he couldn't really bless Hashem, and that's why the psukim say, it says, he didn't sin with his lips. And Rashi points out, he didn't sin with his lips, he couldn't articulate his anger, his frustration, his pain. But you know what? In his heart, it was really burning. In his heart, it was overflowing with anger and pain and misery. And that's why it was internally already now, he was hurting. He couldn't understand why Hashem would do such a thing to him. Which leads us to the last section of this parak, the last three psukim, where Eov's friends come. We talk about these friends. And they came to him, each from the person from their own place, Eliphaz HaTemoni, Vildad HaShuchi, and Sofar HaNaamasi. They came together and they came to visit him. And they look at him and they see him from a distance. V'lo yikiru. They didn't recognize him. He was so disformed. He was so anguished. He was so different to the Eov that they knew. They didn't even recognize him. They started weeping. They tore their clothing. And they put afar on their head. They put the dust on their head. This is an expression of mourning for the Eov they knew. And they sat on the earth for 7 days without saying anything. And it's almost like they're sitting shiver for him because they saw the incredible pain. They came to him. Now, there's a discussion. Who are these friends? Is Eliphaz really the son of Esav? Is he a tzaddik? When did this happen? There's a lot of discussions that happen. But one interesting thing over here is that the Rav Shimon Shua points out is that there are a lot of very successful people who have great friends. But those great friends are there when they're successful. What happens when they're not successful? What happens when things are a little more difficult in their lives? Then the friends disappear, don't they? Well, these are the types of friends that despite distance and despite circumstance are here for Eov. Which leads us to one last question. Why did the Satan not get rid of the friends too? He got rid of his livestock, his family, his health. Why not the friends? So one way we could look at it is that because in the end they're actually going to admonish him. In the end they're going to be much more difficult for him. So maybe the Satan wanted that. But there's another possibility, and this is a very profound possibility that Rav Shimon Schwab suggests as well. And that is that if the Satan had removed Eov's friends, he would have died. If the Satan had removed his only emotional support, that would have been akin to removing his soul. Everything else in his life, maybe, but not his friends. And that goes to show you an extremely powerful lesson when it comes to Eov. Is that the very essence of a person depends on the emotional support of those closest and nearest to them. Sometimes those people may not be part of their family, but those are the people who can make the difference between life and death. And that's what we see from the friends of Eov. This now leads us into the first argument, the first curse of Eov, which will be Perek Gimel. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.